I just wondered if I was the only one that observed how our sisters are matching tonight. Me and Brother Ernest get pointed out pretty regularly that we are coordinated very often. And I just didn't want to miss out on pointing out that you ladies were coordinated very well tonight. And it did come to me. I told you that there was something else that I was supposed to say. I just know I'll forget it. Miss Ann, I got a package for you after the service. Don't let me forget to give it to you. It's completely safe. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and the dew of Hermon as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I've read this psalm to you, and I'm just going to talk to you about this psalm tonight. And I'm just going to talk to you tonight because I'm making a concerted effort not to really preach tonight. And what I mean by that is I can't physically, I can't preach, I can't strain tonight, and I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of details, but if I don't get lots of magnesium and potassium, I have terrible, terrible muscle cramps, and I've had that this evening, and I explained it to my family this way: it'll hit in my abdomen area, and once it happens, y'all ever had to sneeze, and you get right on the edge of sneezing, and you just like that. That's how the muscles in my stomach do. And they just dared me to move wrong or to strain my abs. I know you didn't think I had abs, but I do. To strain my abs at all. And if I do, my wife will testify to you, whichever side locks down, it'll draw into my spine and the other side will stick out like a basketball. And I'll be sucking on a mustard bottle and drinking pickle juice and laying on the floor in here crying, and you don't want to see that. So I'm not going to try to raise my voice or anything at all tonight because you don't want to witness that. So Psalms 133, we've read the full psalm, all three verses of it. It's a short psalm. It's a song of degrees. And we want to say something about the entirety of it, but really it's been our time making remarks about verse number one. He makes a statement. He declares a truth in verse number one. He says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we'll come back to that and give you thoughts on that. But as far as the idea, this concept of brethren dwelling together in unity, he gives us a couple of similes that it's like unto. He says it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. That's talking about that oil of the priesthood. It would have been olive oil mixed with four other types of oils and herbs. And it was poured out upon him in abundance, ran down his beard, saturated the beard all the way down to the very ends of his garments. Of course, oil in the Bible is it's typical, and what I mean by that, it has many types. It typifies many things. Primarily, the number one thing that you see as far as typology and oil, it's a type or picture, if you will, of the Holy Ghost of God. And so he says that brethren dwelling together in unity, he said it's very similar to the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. And then the second simile is in verse number three. He says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's two high points, two not only high points, but two dry points. And he's talking about the blessing of a dew in a dry and barren land, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. It's a situation where the dew is all that's sustaining life. You've seen it that way before, even in our area, to where only the morning dew is what's sustaining life at all, because you've been so long without any water and everything is just parched. In those times, you can see your garden in the evening and everything's wilted and laying over, but come morning, everything looks like it's had a fresh breath of life given to it. Now, what done that? Well, it was that dew. And he says that brethren dwelling together in unity, he said it's precious in that way. It's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains. Both of these, verse 2 and verse 3, these similes between the oil and the dew, what it tells us is that it's that unity among brethren is not always commonplace, that it's a rarity, and that it's a precious thing, and that it's something to be appreciated. Now back to verse number 1. He said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That first word is behold. It literally means just stop and look and gaze. It means pause. It means there's something here worth taking note of. Don't pass over this situation like you do every other commonplace situation among brethren. He says this is a rarity. It's worth stopping and taking into consideration. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He didn't necessarily tell you exactly how good it is. He left the door flung wide open as to say, how good is it? We might not really know how good it is. It may be better than we're able to articulate. It may be better than we're able to measure. But he says this. He says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He says it's good and it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now we know that there's a literal application that can be made between blood brothers, sons that came forth from the same womb. But the primary application here, the primary interpretation is for us as a local New Testament church, for any local New Testament church, we're brethren. We are brethren in the Lord. And it's a rarity anymore for brethren, even in local New Testament churches, to dwell together in unity. He says it's good. He says it's pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. That dwelling together means you're going to be side by side. It means you're under one roof. It means you're really one unit is what it means. It means you're a well-oiled machine. It means you're leaning into one another, leaning on one another, helping one another, not working against one another, not one pulling left and one pulling right, but both pulling together, pulling in the same direction. That's the word picture there. That's what he's trying to describe when he talks about brethren dwelling together in unity. It means to be unified. It means to have a great and a good goal that is ultimate and that is supreme, that surpasses all else, that makes all else seem minute in comparison to it. And do you know what that is for us? It's the gospel. That's what unifies us. Have you ever just taken the time to think over a church family, even one like our own, that might not be that large in number? Brother Sammy used to say there's no small churches, just some of them have less people than others. No such thing as a little church. But churches like ours that might not have the largest of numbers, but have you ever thought about, if not for the gospel's sake, if not for the sake of the gospel, that'd be the proper way to say it, if not for the sake of the gospel, tell me one other thing under God's dear heaven that would gather this group of people together three times a week, every week, for 40, 50, 60 years and more. Tell me, there's nothing. I mean, we agree on many things, no doubt about it, but we're so different. We're so different one from the other. It is the gospel that unites us together. That's what we unify around, is the gospel. Churches nowadays, I'm not going to go out on a critical limb here, but churches nowadays, if they're not careful, they try to find things to unite them, things to unify around other than the gospel. I knew you wanted an example. Here's one for you. Cowboy church. Motorcycle rider church. Whatever church you want to name. And I've heard it. Listen, and I'm not being critical, but I've had people tell me, Brother Ronnie, I don't see what's wrong with it. Those folks, they all like horses. They all like to ride. They like rodeos. They get together and they have church together. Well, here's the problem with it. Here's the problem with it. The problem is, I love Jesus too, but I don't have a cowboy hat. I don't have a horse. I don't have a horse. I don't have a cowboy hat. Now, I can't fit in at your church, because it's a cowboy church. You understand what I'm saying? Church ought to be church. It ought to ultimately and primarily be around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church ought not be around a motorcycle club or around a barrel race or around a political party or anything like that. It ought to be around the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together, Brother Corey, is the fact that we've been to Calvary. We may talk about things of similar or common interest, but think about it, folks. We gather together literally three times a week, every week. Me and Brother Ernest and Brother Boozer, we'll gather four. We'll go down to the jail four times a week. And it's all about the gospel. It's all because God has touched us. At some place in our past, God has touched us and regenerated us and made us a new creature in Christ Jesus, and he's become the center of our life. And then we meet other people who Christ has become the center of their life. Do you realize that I love Brother Boozer like a brother, but if fishing was all that held us together, he'd never see me again. He loves fishing. Every time I call him, if he don't answer, it's that same recording. It tells me that he's catching them crappie and laying them out on the bank. And he can't get to the phone right now. I'm going to get the game warden to call him one of these days when it ain't crappie season. That's what I'm going to do. But really, that's Brother Boozer loves that. He loves camping. He loves fishing. I'll go fishing with you for 5 minutes, brother. And if I ain't caught a fish, I'm going to the house. There's other things going on. And I'll sit around the fire with you, but come bedtime, I got Miss Shannon a soft mattress at the house. I'm not laying on the ground. I've no interest in that. You know? But at the same time, I doubt you have any interest at all in coming and standing over a little white wooden box and taking the lid off and looking at 60,000 stinging insects, which is what I do for kicks and giggles. Probably none of the rest of you are interested in that, right? Now, I just use that as a little example. But you think about the differences that we have. Miss Ashley, I'm going to just step out on a limb here and say, if you and Miss Ann, if the only thing y'all had in common was baking sourdough, you probably wouldn't get together much. Am I right? You're probably right about that. But you know what I noticed, sir? Snails, yeah, we can gather around snails. Miss Ann said, no fellowship there, sister. No fellowship there. But I noticed that they fellowship together. They do fellowship together. You know why they fellowship together? Because of a place called Calvary. Because of a man named Jesus. And because they've been to that place, because they've been touched by him, they've been regenerated, made new creatures, and they have that thing in common. And isn't it a crying shame? And we don't have that here. What I'm about to talk about, we don't have. But I want to, I say these things tonight to remind you, God don't owe us anything. We don't have a contract on unity. We don't have a monopoly on unity, and it's something that you have to endeavor to keep. Do you understand what I'm saying? Isn't it a shame that there's churches tonight that have people in them who have that in common, that they have been to Calvary, they have been saved, but yet there's no unity in that church because they've put political parties above Calvary and above Jesus. They put personal preferences in whatever area, whether it's the color of the carpet or the color of the brick or whatever. They put personal preferences on a higher plateau than the reality that we've been to Calvary, that we've been saved, that we're brethren. I'm telling you, there's nothing like brethren dwelling together in unity. It is like that oil that ran down Aaron's beard and all the way down his garment, all the way to the hems of his garment. It is like that dew in the morning in a dry and barren land that delivers sustaining life day in and day out. It's a hard world we're living in today. It's a dark world we're living in today, and it's as divided of a world as anybody has ever lived in. And isn't it amazing that a nucleus, that a group of people can gather together on a little hilltop in Monroe County, Mississippi, that none of us have many, I'm not saying none, but we don't have a lot of ties that bind, really, outside of the fact that God came to where you were, just like he came to where I was. He convicted you. He convicted me. He saved you. He saved me. You love him. I love him. And that unites us. And that's what it's all about. God help us at Unity Baptist Church to never, never, no, never get to the place that some other dear brethren have come to, that they've let lesser things take the preeminence. Nothing matters more than obedience to the gospel. To us, reading this word, learning this word, loving this word, living this word, putting it in shoe leather, walking it out every day, growing in grace and the nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and trying to make an impact on the community around about us and on the world at large. The devil loves to get disunity in a local church, because if he can get one against another, get me against you or you against me, well, then we begin to focus on the things that we don't have in common, the things we dislike one about the other. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll suck the life out of a church. You won't find the Holy Ghost anywhere around it. It'll be dry and dead. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And there's churches tonight that's been living that life that I just described for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and more. And the only reason the doors hadn't shut, now God's already done with it, Ichabod's written over the door, but the only reason the doors have not physically shut is because neither side wants to be the one to give in and leave. They want to outlast the other one. Isn't that sad? Why has that not happened here yet? Because somebody has strove to keep the unity. Somebody's been big enough to say, well, me and Brother Boozer differ on a matter. Let me let Brother Boozer have his way. Somebody fails to be big enough to do that. That's what real Christianity looks like, because I love the unity. If me and Brother Boozer differ, if he wants to part his hair to the left and I want to part mine to the right, I let him have his way. He can have his way. People get crossed up in churches, cause church fights and sometimes church splits over stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. But it become about ego. It become about pride. It become about power and leverage. And I'm going to show them. I'm going to have my way. And really, at the end of the day, your way didn't mean all that much to you, but you just wasn't going to be pushed around. Fact of the matter is, I don't have to have my way. You don't have to have your way. I'll tell you who's got to have their way. You want to guess? God. God's got to have his way. And if we keep that attitude, that God is preeminent above all, that his word and his will supersedes everything, and it don't matter if Brother Boozer hates honeybees and I hate fishing, me and him still going to come up here and we're going to hug each other's neck and love on each other, and we're going to fellowship. And when we decide we want to put up another flower arrangement, me and Brother Boozer's the flower committee, and he wants red flowers and I want blue flowers, I'm going to say, Brother Boozer, go and do red flowers. I ain't got to have my color. I ain't got to have blue. Do you red? That's what it means. Ain't that what it means? God help us. It's our name, beloved. Unity Baptist Church. God help us to always live up to our name. I don't guess I've ever. I don't want you to go home thinking, I wonder what the preacher's bird dogging on. I wonder what the preacher's seen. Preacher ain't seen a thing. Preacher's just doing maintenance. I mow the yard before it gets weedy. Just simple maintenance. I don't guess I've ever seen a church that had any more unity than our church does. A church that loves each other any better than our church does. And it's a precious thing to me. And so therefore, we ought to guard it. We ought to treasure it. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to open your word, read a few verses. And Lord, even though I'm not really able to preach tonight, thank you for allowing us just to muse over these verses and share our heart with your people. God, I pray that you'd help us all take to heart the reality that we've shared tonight, that really, God, there's enough Adam in this building to blow this thing sky high. And we don't have a lot of things that tie us together as far as numerically. But, Lord, we have one thing that supersedes and overshadows every other thing. And that's the fact that we've been redeemed by the good grace of God. Lord, help us to always strive to maintain the unity here at this church. God, help each one of us, especially me, Lord, help each one of us to be the first one when we differ to say, no, you can have your way, you before me. Lord, help us to prefer another before ourselves that we might maintain unity. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.